Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Gary Stewart of Conscious Connection. I'm very excited to speak to you today with a fantastic guest. It's a dear friend of mine who's a best-selling author. Her name is Carrie Hummingbird. The title of our show today is Living with a Courageous Heart with Carrie. Carrie's a soul guide, and she served as a social activist, leader, and philanthropist for over three decades. She's the founder of Skills Not Pills Movement, which I participated in last year, which was absolutely wonderful. She's also the host of the incredible show, the Soul Nectar Show. She inspires people to lead their lives wide awake with authenticity, passion, and purpose. All of this she does so it positively impacts others. She also catalyzes mind shifts that transform the challenges of life into gifts of wisdom, so you can reinvent yourself programs that she has for individual or group mentoring. She's the author of the award-winning best-selling book, Awakening to Me, One Woman's Journey to Self-Love. And her new channel text, which I'm thrilled to be part of, is called The Second Wave, Transcending the Human Drama. I'm all about that, a conscious connection, and with my writings as well. So I'd like to introduce you to my kindred spirit, Carrie Hummingbird. Let me get her online here for Conscious Connection with Gary Stewart and Carrie Hummingbird. Carrie, are you there?
I am, Gary. Oh, it's so good to hear your voice. I just love you.
Yes,
I'm so excited
this morning
to hear it.
But hey, for you, I'll do it early, so. And I just want to know that our listeners in Conscious Connection just what a light being Carrie is, and I'm thrilled to have someone of like mind on the show here, especially to promote this new book, The Second Wave, of which I wrote a chapter in. So I'm thrilled. So Carrie, let our audience know at Conscious Connection, what is a courageous heart?
You know, my definition of a courageous heart is being willing to speak or take actions that other people around you might not understand and might even provoke them, but that you know in your heart is the right thing to do or the thing that needs to be said to move the conversation to another level. You know, it's really opening through the fear, not closing, like opening through the discomfort of being around people who might not understand what you're saying and really opening bigger and bigger, right? Expanding through that discomfort.
Yeah, yeah. I know I generally have compassion for those people if they don't get it or they think I'm from another planet or whatever, but I know that's the world
are.
I know exactly.
Yeah.
That's like Planet Trump. But that's another story. But I just know that the right people of the right vibration will be attracted to my liveliness or my insights, whereas the people that aren't won't even be in my sphere. So I'm always blessed that way.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people that feel that pull in their heart to be of service, that feel that calling, well, they start to look around them and they say, well, nobody else is saying this, so I must be crazy. And my message to them is, you're not crazy. We're just living on a crazy planet right now that we need your voice. Like, we need that inner knowing that you have. You need to speak up and speak out, and you need to stand up, because this is how we're going to shift things, not by fitting in, but by being courageous, and bold.
Right. Yeah, and that's the blessing of Donald Trump at the moment. He's activating many people to take a stand, whether you're for corporations or against corporations, whether you're for clean air, against, whether you're against misogyny or for misogyny. He's really, giving us a choice point. You could say this whole 4 years has been a choice point for people to really activate and either live their dream or be a victim of life, So it's actually good things are going on right now, no matter what it looks like.
I agree, definitely. It's sometimes we need it to get really dark before we take an action.
Absolutely. When I tell people that's the yin and yang of change, and, what's happening now in America, that's a catalyst for great change. So I see a great change coming because the catalyst is so strong. So it really, in the bigger scheme of things, it's all good. So how's your own journey of being courageous or having a courageous heart or being that of which you are a courageous heart looks like?
Well, it's a lifelong journey of really finding my own truth and being willing to live from that truth regardless of what anybody around me was saying about it or condemning it or criticizing it. You know, it's been a lifelong journey of that because definitely I felt the pull that we all feel to belong. You know, we want to belong. We want to fit in. We want to be loved. And in the way that it works on the planet here, you know, it's sort of like tribal, you know, and there's this reptilian brain, this part of your reptilian brain that says, if I don't fit in, I'm probably going to die, you know, and it's not true anymore. It's not true, but it feels real, right? So you want to do anything you can to fit in and be loved. So that's kind of my journey, you know, was I was being told that I was a problem in the family structure, that there was something about me that was causing all this disruption and problem for other people. And so I began to act from that place. And then I began to try to fix myself. So I went to 20 years of psychotherapy, you know, and that that was a journey. 20 years of psychotherapy, sitting on the couch, analyzing my thoughts, my mind mazes and my thought tunnels. And, you know, and then about 8 years ago, I'd had enough of that. You know, there's only so far that can go. And it really goes to a big black pit of despair because you really analyze all the ways that you pretty much suck, you know, and everybody else is telling you, yeah, you really do. So when you get down to the bottom of that, you have to decide, like, am I going to live or am I going to just die? And I chose to live. So I, you know, I left all my structures. I left my 20-year relationship. I said, forget it. I'm not going to talk on the couch anymore. I forget that. I'll just be bad. But a really cool thing happened was that as I courageously took that move, because I didn't know it was on the other side. You know, I didn't, I'd been in a relationship for 20 years. I didn't know whether I was going to be able to support myself or what, right? So as I did that, though, I was totally held. Like, I met a spiritual teacher that led to another mentor. I had my first shamanic healing session, which completely changed my perception about life and my understanding of myself in 45 minutes. And
isn't that amazing?
Yes. Like, what? They never told me this was possible. If I had known this, I wouldn't have gone through this 20 years.
I know. You know? Like 20 years on the couch or 20 minutes with the shaman. It's like, talk about time travel and shape shifting.
Which one do you want? Well, I said, whatever that is that just happened to me, I am doing that, like, for myself and others.
Right.
And so that I courageously followed that. So my life has been about that. You know, now I've been courageously going out and talking about energy medicine and shamanic healing in the middle of, you know, the Bible Belt in Texas and in Austin. And, you know, a lot of different perceptions about what that means. And courageously speaking up about the healing I received. So, you know, there's a lot of courage in knowing what you know, and speaking it without ego, you know, without expectation, but really just getting out there and speaking it.
Oh, yes. Well, yes, I totally agree. And you're totally great at, and your publications are wonderful. So tell me more, so our listeners at Conscious Connection know a little bit more about shamanism. So you worked extensively with shamans. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have worked with, I've been trained in the energy medicine by the Four Winds Society, Light Body School, which is a derivative of South American teachings by Alberto Villaldo. And and the primary lineage there is the Caro Shamans. And here's something that a lot of people don't realize is that in North America, a lot of the indigenous traditions were completely decimated and or severely altered by the way that European Americans treated these people when we first landed here on this continent. So the medicine is like the people are trying to regain the medicine, right? They're trying to hold on to the little tiny thread that might be left. And certainly not the Lakota. Like, the Lakota are very strong, but there's a lot of tribes where that's not the case, where they're really trying to rebuild what they lost. Whereas with the South American shamans, like the Caro shamans, they have an unbroken lineage. Like, they fleed up into the altitudes of the high mountains, and the Spaniards couldn't follow them there. So they have an unbroken tradition. Yeah, and their medicine is powerful. You know, they're rainbow people.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people don't realize the power of that. It's like bridging the old world where we, you know, we used to live in a certain way, connected to the earth and really connected to our ancestors, to today where everything is totally disconnected. You know, people don't even go outside. They stay in little cubicles, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So when you get connected back with that kind of lineage, it's very powerful. And you can, you know, and I think that's what we're here to do now, is what I'm channeling through my book, is that we're here to recreate in our own unique way, because we're in a different place in the stream. You know, we're crossing the river as different people, and it's a different stream.
Yes.
And, you know, but we got to recreate for ourselves that sense of tradition, that sense of connection with our ancestry. Like, I love what you do with constellations. It's so true. Like, mm-hmm. the connection back with the ancestry and the connection back with the understanding that we're part of a greater fabric of all that is. And that's what these indigenous people have never lost, the Caro shamans. They've never lost that. And I've been re-inducted into that now. And I see the bigger picture. We need to recreate that here for us European dislost, you know, souls, lost
yes.
children. Thanks. Need to recreate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for our listeners, it's like a cross-pollination. It's like the ancient ways and the old ways, whether it's the Tao, shamanism, because a lot of the modern healing techniques don't work. They're very scientific, and not to diss them, they do work for some people. A lot of people are staying alive longer because of it, but there's a much deeper healing tradition, whether, you know, my work with constellations, we go back to restore harmony in the ancestry. That actually changes our DNA, so we're not carrying around the heavy emotional baggage that can lead to dis-ease and more dysfunction and unhappiness. And also, the first doctors on Earth were shamans. Western medicine is a new blip of a couple hundred years old compared to 5,000, if you really look at ancient China and everything. So shamanism and all these ancient techniques about consciousness and transformation are thousands of years old, long before organized religion showed up.
It goes back, you know, and the thing is, a lot of people don't realize that plants are conscious. So I started working with the jungle shamans, and I started learning about plant medicine, and plants are conscious, and they're actually way more, their consciousness is way ascended over human consciousness. I mean, I want to reverse it. Everyone thinks that they're like at the top of the food chain, and I'm like, these plants are really smarter than us. They're really smarter than us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they teach us. They're our teachers, not the other way around.
I know. And not to mention they keep us alive by breathing carbon dioxide and releasing oxygen. It's
they
like the yin and yang of the plant world.
They keep us alive, but we chop them down.
I know, exactly. Well, it doesn't mean I'm going to be a carnivore anytime soon. But sacred plants, and, you know, a lot of people, I mean, you know, marijuana really is the craze because THC, everyone said, oh, you know, it's a psychedelic. But when you look at people who have cancer and epilepsy and all these diseases, some brought on by vaccinations, and boom, they're instantly healed. You know, a lot of people don't realize that the demonization of it still is because everyone who's demonizing is paid by Big Pharma for campaign donations for their. So a lot of slow movements happening, but the American public is to the point now where mushrooms, psychedelic mushrooms, are being legalized in Colorado and Oregon. And different states are now legalizing. London, England, has legalized the sale of magic mushrooms. So there really is a deeper force coming through in the world for the plant medicine to have wider access. And it couldn't come at a better time for our species.
Absolutely, Gary, because these plant medicines actually open up your consciousness and help you elevate and help you understand things when you work with them in right relationship. Now, I've looked at it from both sides of the coin with marijuana, for example. Like, I've definitely seen the case where marijuana is a healing plant and it helps people to totally open up to a whole new insights in life that they didn't even have before. I've also seen the alternative that people maybe are condemning it or talking about, where, you know, you kind of notice sometimes that people use it for the wrong purpose, they use it for the wrong intent, they can end up, you know, getting really depressed and have like a really low energy body, and, you know, they can open themselves up to all kinds of nasty things, right? So I understand that too. So really what it comes down to is an understanding that the plant is your teacher, and to use it in a sacred way. It's not about a quick high, and it's not about distraction.
Right. Yeah, oh, definitely. So how can people get started on their own courageous heart journey?
Well, so Gary, it requires them to start tuning into their own station rather than paying attention to what everybody else thinks, right? I mean, I know you and I have gone back and forth over this conversation about spirituality and the fear that's been generated by certain institutions to keep people from exploring their own connection to the great source. Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, because then they lose control. A lot of people don't realize there's an intentional control going on where for you to believe in someone else's version of reality gives people a lot of power and a lot of money. And when you take that sovereignty or personal authority to say, wait, I'm connected with my constellation work, even in the constellation community, they're creating dogma like constellations are a church. And I said, constellations are about consciousness. No one owns it. It's shared equally by all. And do you have the courage to go into your own conscious field intentionally to find your healing, to find what you want? So, and I believe shamanism's the same way. You're of the same ilk as me. It's like, what box? There is no box. You think there's a box, you're in it.
Yeah, I love that. You know, and, you know, I've been asking, because in the book, as you know, I talk about this issue, and I talk about how I've been guided to help people open the door to their own sacred journey with the divine so that they can find, they can live the life that they're meant to live, which is unique. And it's a one-to-one relationship, you and the divine. There's nobody in between you and the divine. Like, you are connected in inextricably with your maker. So I was asking, I was like, well, how am I supposed to communicate that? Because people have a lot of judgments about this, and they don't understand it. It seems too abstract. You know, they haven't had proof of it. So how are they going to believe? And this is the cool thing that is the message, is that there, you know, as with most things being very simple and obvious. So we have a very simple, obvious symbol on our bodies, which definitely show us that we are a unique design, and that's our thumbprint. There is no person on earth ever was that has your thumbprint.
Right.
So that's the proof. Like, God put it right on your hand so you wouldn't forget. Like, you're in a unique journey. There is nobody else in there with you. You're alone inside that thumbprint suit. It's your journey. This design that you're in this body, is taking you on a journey that only you are meant to have, and only you are meant to understand. So if you don't understand it, if you don't take the time to look within this thumbprint suit, within this life journey, if you don't take the time to understand it, and you shame it and judge it and blame it and compare it to everybody else's, if you don't take the time to really celebrate it, to understand it enough to celebrate it, nobody ever, ever, ever will throughout all time, space, and dimension, because it only happens once.
Absolutely.
Like, that is powerful, right? You've got to understand it. You're the one, only one that can.
Absolutely. And that's empowering. That's empowering people knowing. A lot of people, you know, stay small or play small because they're afraid of having that power, no less embodying the power. You know, I feel like my soul mission is to spread more unconditional love on earth than there was when I arrived, you know, and that's the core of the core of core of my mission. And I just try to do that every day, and even in small ways, whether it's in the grocery store, whether it's, you know, a baby, you know, just totally random or intentional in my workshops and working with clients. So I totally get it, and I want people to know it's not that far-fetched. You know, ultimately, it's what makes you happy during your incarnation is what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, and if you didn't follow that, Gary, think about all the people that wouldn't have been served if you didn't step out and follow your knowing about this constellation work. I mean, I, for one, wouldn't have been served, right? Because I've been to several of your constellations, and I've gotten, like, amazing results from that, like making peace with my ancestors. And I think that this is, we're so angry at our ancestors, Gary. We're so, like, there's so many women that are so angry at their mothers, you know, because they just felt like they didn't get loved. You know, they didn't really get loved and taught how to be independent women and how to be, you know, celebrating themselves. And we've got this whole culture where women compare themselves to other people and they don't celebrate themselves. And we have to make peace with that with our ancestors. Like, we really need to make the peace to reconnect the fabric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just so our listeners know, when you're not at peace with your mother, that means your grandmother wasn't at peace with your mother, your great-grandmother wasn't at peace with the grandmother. So if we can shift that consciousness right now and see the gift we got from the mother and leave whatever's not the gift with the mothers and all the mothers who came before, then we've truly evolved out of the cycle of pain or suffering or lack of nurturing. So all it takes is for us to change in an instant, and then the paradigm shift goes backwards and forwards to the dead, to the future simultaneously. So we really are at a point of power every day of our life with our uniqueness. And I want our listeners, Conscious Connection, to know that, and that Kerry supports that with her work. Now, we only have a few minutes left here. Boy, time is flying by. We got to talk about your new book here, The Second Wave. I'm so thrilled to have contributed a chapter, and that's going to be on late July, so we got to get cracking here on the promotion. Please tell us about this fantastic new book.
Yeah, this book started, I didn't even know I was writing a book this year, Gary, as it often happens with the guides, right? So
yeah.
I heard in March, they said, you're writing a new book, and this is during one of my meditations, and I said, oh, what's it called? And it said, The Second Wave, Transcending the Human Drama, and I said, okay, this is awesome. I'm really glad to hear what I'm going to be telling people. So, you know, what's as it happens, I channeled this book, and it's got really powerful messages around all the things that I've felt in my heart so strongly my whole life. I felt these things to be true. I felt these things to be true, that the Creator loves every single one of us, like every one of us, and created us uniquely, and there isn't any possibility whatsoever that anyone was created to be abandoned by the Creator because they didn't like happen to stumble into one philosophy or another about God. Like, that is just preposterous, that absolutely
right.
We need to reconnect with the earth. You know, that we all share the earth. Gary, that's the only thing we all share in common, because we're so unique. We're so designed to be unique, and our pathway is so unique, that the only thing we share in common is the fact that we're all on the earth in a body. That is it. So we have to celebrate the earth.
Our species itself has a consciousness, so we have a human consciousness too. So that's shared equally with the physical and our conscious, regardless of our beliefs. We're still conscious beings having an earthly experience.
Yeah, and so we're all here on earth, and no matter where our soul came from or how many journeys it's taken or what our understanding about life is or what our culture is or what our upbringing or what our conditioning, we have the earth in common. And so the more that people can tap back into the earth, we can allow the earth to be our conduit of connection to one another. And the connection is what creates peace and understanding. It's the connection that creates that. It's the disconnection and thinking we're separate and different and that we are like competing over resources. That's what causes the friction. And so if we can get back connected with the earth, we can be back connected, each one of us, with a huger consciousness that envelops all that is. And now we're thinking about the earth. We're thinking about the rocks, the stones, the trees, the plants, the animals, all of our fellow humans, all of our fellow creatures in the oceans. Like, now we're connected with the whole. We're really thinking about the whole rather than just thinking about ourselves and our own little egoic needs. That's going to create a whole different world when we can get connected back together as one breathing earth. So that's the real core message of the book.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize we are at one with the earth. And when we take, I see what's happening ecologically and everything that's going on, is the misogyny of the male patriarchy that's so destructive and repressive against the feminine is actually being acted out on Mother Earth herself. And the mother can only take so much drilling and pollution before she says, wait a minute, all it takes is one tsunami, one major earthquake, or one volcano to say, hey, you're lucky you're here, you better get with the program.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we are here to be the keepers of the Garden of Eden, and this is the Garden of Eden. And we haven't been taking very good care of it. You know, we've not been very responsible. So this is also about raising consciousness, right, Gary, like out of a toddler frame of mind, which we're having a really good demonstration of right now in our government. Frame of mind. Yeah,
okay.
Into the an adult advanced old soul perspective.
Yeah. Well, I have great hope because the new millennials are coming. I'm donating monthly to the Four Oceans campaign. These young teenage boys, surfer kind of guys, create ways to clean up the ocean, creating a global movement. That boy from Amsterdam, I'm particularly interested in the oceans because no one cares about aquatic life, and I feel that's part of my mission, to bring attention and focus on getting the oceans clean because they're swimming in all the garbage, the dolphins, the porpoises, all the fish, the plankton now have plastic in them that the whales are eating. It's just horrendous. But the new generation is coming up with ways to solve the problem, and they care about the earth. So I really feel hopeful. The millennials are really activating at very young ages to make a planetary difference. So I really feel hopeful that long after I'm gone, these youngsters will pick up the battle cry to protect Mother Earth and see the beauty and save the resources that provide life for us all.
Absolutely. And the more that each one of us connects directly with the divine, the more we're going to have the insights that we need in order to fulfill our unique part of that puzzle of cleaning up the earth and making her vibrant again. So that is like really important. Another really strong message of the second wave is that, you know, we need to connect direct, like stop looking at what other people are doing, tune into your creator, your maker, what your maker wants you to do and do that. And don't hold back no matter what anybody says about it. So it's really, it's to help all the light workers, Gary, because we've got all these powerful ancient souls that came here to be light workers and help shift the planet. And then they got Earth amnesia and they started having all these problems in their life. And they're like, man, I got to go to psychotherapy. I've got to fix myself. I got to go to, you know, like all, I got to do all this personal work to heal myself. And they forgot like, that was the plan. Like you came here to do that, you know, like, okay, you're still a wise ancient being. Don't get lost in the story. Don't get lost in the story.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing exactly what you came here to do, and now we're gonna flip the script. We're gonna close the book of fate and open the book of destiny. That's what we're here to do. We're gonna like see how far we can take this thing. You know how much can we do on planet Earth?
Absolutely, and it's sorely needed. Hey, we're running close to the end of the show here. So when is the book coming out? The Second Wave, Transcending the Human Drama.
It's coming out July 27th. People can get an advanced preview of the first chapter. They can also get a meditation to help guide them to see if they're part of the second wave. They can get all of that on the website.
Oh, my God. How do they get that? And I'll post it. I'll post it on our post with the link to the show. So how do they get the advanced stuff, Carrie?
Yeah, so they can get that from thesecondwave.media, and it's all spelled out the words. thesecondwave.media, and you got to put the www at the beginning. You get there.
I'll post that link. I'll post that link with our show here, too, and blast it out everywhere, and I'm going to send you the link as soon as we're done. Oh. And, Carrie, you have your own website, carriehummingbird.com, K-E-R-R-I, the word hummingbird.com, plus we have your Soul Nectar show, which is www.soul, S-O-U-L-N-E-C-T-A-R show. And I love participating in the Skills Not Pills movement last year. And that's still going, right? Your Skills Not Pills movement?
It is still going. I am still finding ways to open people up to this concept because there's a little resistance around putting down the pill bottles. But I can guarantee that it's so much better on the other side, right, Gary?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And for people that need it, we're not dissing your medication. We're not doctors. We're not practicing that kind of medicine. Do whatever Western medicine tells you. We're telling you there's other dimensions to your dis-ease and discomfort that could be more spiritual. And, Carrie, we're running out of time here. My God, I could go on. We're going to have to do another show, okay? We got lots there as soon as we get this book out, and we're going to do a whole show dedicated to the second wave.
Woohoo! I love this topic.
This is Gary Stewart at Conscious Connection. My fantastic guest is Carrie Hummingbird. She's a force of the divine, and I know it, and I want you to know it, our listeners at Conscious Connection. And this is Gary Stewart, the host here, signing off. Namaste. Until next time. Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you, Gary. That was awesome.
Oh, fantastic. Namaste to our listeners at Conscious Connection.
Namaste.